I welcome everybody to the phone call. I spoke with Father, as usual. All three of them give you their love, and I give you my peace. As I said before, Father was in a good mood, which was encouraging because last month was a little bit unnerving for all of us. So, Father said, "My dear son's team, thank you to all for remaining with us on the team. For some of you, it took time to decide, and others, it did not. My love for all of you has not changed. And now we can move forward as a team and complete the task I gave my son. Once again, I will ask all of you to not get discouraged with what is transpiring throughout the world. This is merely the beginning of the end. I have all of you and your families in my hand of protection. Fear nothing. Over the next few months, you will start to see some drastic changes in the world. There will also be changes in your part of the world. Always remember that I am with you. It is now the final time of my plan. For millennia, I have been planning. I have changed my approach at times because of mankind, but my plan of salvation has always been, bring them all home. You are my special forces. In time, I will send you into parts of the world to find, rescue, and save souls. The current work you are doing will be magnified exponentially. You can handle it. Please know that I will always test you. These tests are not so you can prove yourself to me. You have already done so many times. I test you to show you the power my son has given you from me. Use your gifts. Speak openly about me and the future. Never back down from a fight. You are stronger than you give yourself credit. Show the world who you are. In time, the whole world will know who Supplanter and his team are. You have been helping for years, and many will testify of your accomplishments and miracles. Also, please know how very proud I am of all of you. Last month's meeting was not pleasant for me either, but it was necessary to motivate all of you. Stay busy in the work. When you grow tired, ask Jesus for strength. Never give up. Continue to work, and I will bless you and give you all what you need to finish this task. I love all of you, and thank you for your sacrifices, offerings, and time. They do not pass by me in vain. You are blessed and cared for. Now stay strong, healthy, and always be wise in all you do." That was all he had to say. I had a conversation this week. Well, I should stop. Does anybody have any questions about what Father said? Okay. I had a conversation with Firelight this week. She had a charge that she spent some time with, and when she was done giving her the energy healing, this woman seemed to feel much better, and everything was going well. And then the next day when Firelight checked with her, she was a mess. And I said to Firelight, which I told her I would bring up in today's meeting, that we have to approach every person that's in our charge as though they're a patient and we are a doctor. You and I have been given this gift from Father to diagnose what it is that these people have in them, around them, or fighting with. And just like a doctor tells his patient that they have to do certain things, and when the patient doesn't do what the doctor says, the doctor pretty much washes his hands. We are not washing our hands of a charge, but what I told Firelight was is that we cannot own when someone doesn't do what we ask them to do. We can't take it personal. We can't go beat the person up and go, you have to write those letters and you need to do the meditation and all this. So I want everyone to understand that we are just like doctors, okay? When we give a diagnosis and we give some kind of a treatment, then it falls on that person to follow through with it. And if they do, then Father will bless them and their life will change. If they don't want to, that is their choice. And we'll continue to try and help them as much as we can. We'll come at them from a different angle, which is what Firelight did, and everything will work out in the end. I also had a conversation with Father last week about, in our church, we have a term called being sealed by the Holy Spirit. And I said to him, I think the world doesn't understand that when you get sealed, as far as us in the New Apostolic Church, people seem to think that you are given the Holy Spirit, and that is not the case. The case is that you are given the life of the Holy Spirit. And we had a sealing this past week, and the apostle was in our congregation, and he sealed a little baby. and Jesus was standing up in the front. And we know that when the apostle puts his hand on the child or anybody and he says, your name is being written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Jesus actually took out that book and he wrote that child's name in the book. And I looked at him and he goes, I have time right now. And I went, okay, just looking and seeing and learning. And I said to Father, I said, basically what you're doing is you're allowing now this soul that has the life of the Holy Spirit in their heart to date your son. And he said, yes. He says, why do we date in real life? We try to find out who the person is. We see if we're compatible. We see if we have the same likes. We have the same goals. We get to know each other. And Father said the biggest misconception that most people have is they seem to think that just because they believe that they're in. And I said, well, that's not the case. I said, we need to win Jesus' heart over, and that happens not just through prayer, but through our personal experiences with him, through our meditation that we've been taught, and by talking with him. I said, and the other thing they have to do is they have to suck up to you because it's an arranged marriage. And he laughed and went, yes, that's true. So if we're going to discuss what it is to be sealed with the Holy Spirit, then we need to understand that just because that happens in this world, that doesn't mean anybody's got the right to just walk into the kingdom of heaven. It is a relationship. And I said to my aunt and uncle this week, who I had lunch with, which was very nice, I said to my uncle, in Scripture, in Revelation, it states that Jesus had someone knock on the door and he opened it, and he said, I know you not. I said, most people seem to think that we think that that's the world knocking. I said, it is not. It's those who believe that they've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, that those that believe they've been chosen by God. He's talking to people that think they've already gotten in. So we need to be aware of the relationships that you and I build with our Father and our big brother. It's not just something that happens overnight. It takes time. So I'm going to ask everybody that's in our church that if the opportunity comes up for you to address something like this, then do so. I had a conversation, too, with my little sister, who's a district youth leader, and she said it's so hard to strike up spiritual conversations, and we have these small meeting groups, but it's difficult to actually get conversations based on faith, where everything is kind of done now as far as information goes, or knowledge, or the doctrine, or the catechism. So I took some time and I wrote up 6 little topics that you can discuss if you're in a small group or you want to strike up a spiritual conversation with someone. The first one is, where is God when you pray? How close is he to you? For me, when I pray to Father, I am kneeling in front of the throne. He is on his throne, and I am just in front of the 3 steps. That's how close he is to us. A lot of people don't realize that when you pray, you can become that close to him. You have to make the effort. The number 2 question you can ask somebody is, how do you build a relationship with Jesus? It's with conversations outside of prayer, which we can lead ourselves then into the conversation of meditation and how we do that. Another topic is, what excites you about your faith? Why are you Christian? Why do you do what you do? Where is it that you have now come to the understanding of your own faith? And I have come to find when I ask this question, a lot of people do not even understand what their faith is. That's where you and I have to come in. We have to understand our complete faith and how Father works. Because you're on this team, you're privy to information that nobody else is in this world. Work around that. We should be able to explain to somebody why we're excited about our faith. It's not because we have living apostles. It's because of the relationship that we've built with our Heavenly Father, and we know what our future is. But everybody can define what that is for themselves. Number 4 is, have you ever asked Jesus to help you? Have you ever brought a concern to him and asked him to bring it to Father on your behalf? Number 5 is, have you asked Jesus for extra strength in the Holy Communion? You can ask any time you're in a service, when you're tired or worn out, Jesus, may I please have an extra portion? He is more than happy to give that to you. And the 6th one is, have you ever asked Father or Jesus how you can help them today? Do you and I ever go out of our way to ask him, is there something you would like us to do? Because when you do that, then he arranges the day a little bit different for you, and perhaps he allows someone to cross your path that he would not have had happen. But because you're open to giving him a little bit of help, then he'll allow that to happen. And then you can think of anything else that you would like to discuss in small groups. As far as our church is concerned, we have these small groups. Or when you're in some kind of small group yourself, in a fellowship or something, and you just want to strike up a conversation with somebody. Here's a little bit of cannon fodder. Last month in Father's address to us, he mentioned that some of the people on our team have been put in positions of authority within our church. The ironic thing is that all three of these that are on our team are actually in the new Portage congregation in Kalamazoo area. So I'm going to ask Firelight, Lightstream, and then Fred to share what their positions are in the church. So Firelight, please.
Okay, in our new church, they call it four areas of ministry. They have the culture, divine service experience, pastoral care, and structure. And I have been asked to be part of the pastoral care, and they asked me to be the ministry leader for the group, which they call non-attending. And non-attending, obviously, are those that are currently non-attending our church services. And it's not like the people that are, like, weekly, but they're going to have us start with going back into, like, you know, they call it our books, those souls that have kind of just have dropped off the face of the earth. Like, nobody knows where they're at or why they no longer come. And so they've asked me to be that ministry leader. And then last month they had an open house and a volunteer fair where other members could come in and sign up under, like, my category. And so I had a few people sign up, and then eventually we'll have a meeting and we'll come up with ideas and stuff of how to reconnect and communicate with these people that are no longer attending.
Wonderful. Lightstream?
So I'm part of the culture group, and within the culture group, I am part of, I'll start over. I started a library in the Kalamazoo congregation, and it's small, but moving into the bigger church, they've asked me to head up this group with, you know, building the library, and then within inside of the library, having, you know, a lot of books. And in the library, I have, you know, just a lot of books on, you know, on faith and just different parts, I guess, of just learning about yourself and all that. So, so then within that, they also included with the library, having the archives, which a lot of people are excited about, and then as well as when I had first started the library, I had also started a women's book club, so there's going to be a section of different book clubs to also have, you know, people sign up underneath and, you know, and have different groups and all of that. So that's what I'm working on, and then within the library and all that, I was also talking with people about, I think it was in last fall that we were doing the, they were talking about different, like our story, like what's our story. And I was talking with people about also starting, like putting together a book of everybody's story, since we're coming, you know, combining all the different congregations. And so then every, you know, just kind of putting a whole book together of our story. So.
Nice. Thank you. Fred?
Okay. Well, there's a fourth addition to the group, and that's Katie, or Firestar, or Starfire, sorry. Pete and I were talking about getting me help, and we've been searching to try to find somebody who has some web expertise. And he asked about Katie, and I said, I'll ask her, and Katie stepped forward and said yes. So basically, there's four in this congregation now. But basically what I'm tasked with doing is taking care of the new website, taking care of the mobile app, taking care of a new, what we're calling an alpha site is called CCB, which is Church Community Builder. Right now the church nationwide uses a database called IMUS. And what we're doing is we're setting up something called CCB. And everybody there will be certain groups in there. Like, for instance, Stacy and Lauren were talking about the groups. They're in the culture group. But the departments they're in departments, but there's four divisions: culture, divine service experience, pastoral care, and the structure. For instance, structure has 9 groups in it. Pastoral care has 9 groups. Divine Service Experience has 6 groups, and then the Culture has 8. Each one of those groups then has a leader, what we call a work of ministry leader, and they are part of that group. So what I'm doing is I'm setting up the database for the church in the flagship congregation, but it's also an alpha site for the entire country. And we're looking at migrating everything into that. Plus the new site. It will be nacportage.org when it's up and running. And then we're doing a mobile app also. And we're looking at making it easier for the mobile app to do. Sometimes people can't get to church, so we'll do online. We have the ability now to offer online also. And we're just trying to make it easier for people to communicate with each other and just basically tie up all the technology, social media, and everything together. So, and Katie's volunteered to help with that too. So,
cool.
It's basically what we do.
All right. I asked Tranquility if she'd be willing to update us on Tom, but she's not feeling well. So I will tell you what I know. I got a call last week from Andrew, their middle son, who told me that Tom and the boys went to a funeral a week ago Wednesday for a brother in our church who was in his mid-50s and passed away suddenly. And Tom insisted on going, and it turns out that this service was one that the disc apostle and all the apostles were going to be in attendance, and there was over 750 people in attendance. Andrew said that his dad was able to see people that he hadn't seen for 14 years, and when they saw him, he said a lot of people actually broke down and cried. And then the most amazing thing was when Tom came up the aisle for communion. Andrew said he almost lost it, but for sure the district elder did lose it. And then afterwards, the district apostle apologized that he wasn't able to say hi to Tom, and Andrew said, well, my dad is in the back seat of the car. He's just resting. So they went outside, and the disc apostle said to Tom, it's good that the Apostle Orlovsky did what he did. So when I saw the Apostle Orlovsky this past weekend, I shared this information with him. I told him Tom is getting stronger. Tom is actually attending the services on a more regular basis. He also has played the organ on occasion, and he's been doing work like he's wanted to for a while but wasn't able to. He still is sick. He still kind of gets worn out and tired. And I said to Orlovsky, see, you're off the hook. And he laughed, and he said, I actually talked to the District Apostle Wohl after I had helped Tom. And he said to me, I think the reason why these brothers couldn't help Tom was because they were too close to the situation, because they were all such good friends. And I said, that's okay. I said, I'm not going to argue with you. He says, also, I'll also tell you that till the day I die, I'll remember the day that the Holy Spirit actually gave me the answer to Tom's situation. I said, really? He said, yes. He was after you and I talked, and I was saying to our Heavenly Father, is Jim Ryback crazy or is he not crazy? And he said, I was walking my dog, and all of a sudden the thought came that, you know, Jesus said, is it easier for me to forgive a man's sins, or is it easier for me to heal them? He goes, and that's when I realized that this was something that had to do with sin. And I said, funny, I was praying to our Heavenly Father saying, I hope you help him understand that I'm not crazy. He goes, well, I haven't decided yet. I said, well, we're all a little crazy, aren't we? So he laughed. So, Tom is on the mend, and I'm going to ask everyone to continue to keep praying for him and the family. Tranquility has had some challenges at work as well and some health issues that have stricken her as well. So I pray, ask that you'll pray for her as well. Does anybody have any questions or would like to add anything to the meeting at this point?
I have a question.
Yeah.
I have a question. When Father mentioned about change in North America, was he talking about change in as far as leadership-wise politically?
No, what he was talking about, he's
church-wise.
Talking about globally all the problems that are going to start taking place. And Trice is actually met with him this afternoon before he left to go on his trip for the weekend. And Father said to Trice, there's some horrible things that are going to come, that are going to happen quickly across the world, and there isn't anything you can do to stop them. I just need to have faith. So Father's kind of giving us a heads up that some horrible stuff is coming. We know that the wars are going to happen, but I think it's going to hit us on a bigger level. And he also is trying to tell us that we need to be aware of in our own home front that there might be some changes that take place with us as far as not just spirituality goes, but in a political ring as well, because it is going to affect us in some way. But then he also said you are protected and you don't need to worry about anything.
Okay.
And now that you're on the phone, can you give everybody the heads up on how you're doing? Does everybody know that Blaze is sick?
No.
Okay, well, now you do. He had a heart attack last week, or they're trying to figure out exactly what happened to him. So go ahead, Blaze.
Well, I was in an observation from Monday and Tuesday, and then they released me to go home, and then I had to do a stress test with, they had injection isotopes in me, so that they can take pictures of my heart, and hopefully either Monday or Tuesday they'll find out to see if I have have a blockage. Then what they'll do is they'll set up a time for me to go and get a stent, and that's it. And I got to eat well. I got to eat cardboard and healthy foods. So
chewing on tree bark and yogurt.
Tree bark, cardboard, and air.
Tasty. I'm sorry, I cut somebody else off who's also good.
Yeah, that was me, Jim. That's Fred. Just a quick question. When you pray to Christ or Father, I know when we pray to Father, we say Father, but how do you address Jesus? Is it Jesus or is it Christ? I mean, Jesus is his natural name and Christ is his spiritual, but that sounds like a silly question.
No, it's not. You can call him either. The answer is to both. You can call him brother, too. He'll know exactly who you're talking about. There's no informal way to address him. He's just excited that we're actually going to address him. And even I met with my little sister today for a minute, and she looked at me and went, I don't think I've ever talked to Jesus about it. And I went, I know, he's kind of pouting right now. He's taking it personal. She's like, oh, I went, now you can talk to him. If we're going to be married to him spiritually, then we need to build that relationship now. So everyone talk to Jesus. Share with him how your day was if you don't know how to even start a conversation. Tell him all the time, I think you're being selfish. You need to come and get us now. Stop hoarding heaven to yourself and Father. Let's get this game moving. He laughs. Anybody have anything else they'd like to add? Okay, our next meeting is Sunday, October 19th at 4 p.m. I will send out an invite in a couple weeks, and then I usually send it out the week of it. Okay, so I would like to pray with you then, please. Shut off my music. Okay. Kind, loving Father, we approach you, and we say thank you for allowing us to come together as a team. Some were missing. We pray that their hearts are connected with us. They'll be able to read the notice and listen to the recording later. But we pray, Father, you provide your blessing over everyone that is here. There are many changes that are taking place in this world. You have not alluded to what they are. We kind of have an idea. We all know what's going on overseas in different countries. We know how it's affecting our country and how our country isn't really doing much to help. We've expected that for a while, so we pray for wisdom in our leaders, that you will motivate them to get involved where they can. We pray, Father, for your protection over all of us. We do not take that for granted. We appreciate the angels that stand by our sides and protect us. We also have our concerns, Father, for ourselves, our health-wise. You, at the end of this message, said stay healthy, so we all need to start eating better. We need to exercise. We need to be aware of what our health is, per se, physically, but also spiritually too, Father. We build these relationships we heard about with you and our big brother, and we can even talk to HS now and then so he doesn't feel left out. We appreciate, Father, all the insight that you give us. We love this team very much. We, too, are very proud of them. We are thankful that they all stayed. We look forward, Father, to adding our newest member next year, that she is able to fit herself in when the time is right. We pray for her even now. We pray, Father, too, for the last one to be found as well. Everybody knows that's the woman of my dreams. There's not going to beat a dead horse because you and I have talked about that openly. But, Father, look at the hearts of our brothers and sisters here, our teammates, and the concerns that they have financially, monetarily, and spiritually, and their concerns for their family as well. All of them brings their concerns to you all the time, and now we bring all of them before you. We lay them out in front of your throne, and we ask, Father, to please be kind. And Jesus, too, when the time is right, then you'll grant us the answers to our concerns. We are not worried because we have the assurity that you are with us. There is no greater promise than that from you. And for us, it brings a peace to our heart. We pray, Father, for something we've forgotten, you will cover it. Cover us through the weekend. We look forward to being in your house and pray for a special word now. We ask, Father, for your forgiveness, even for that deepest, darkest sin that maybe we're not even aware of. On behalf of our team, Father, all of us connects our hearts now. Do we ask that you will please be kind if there's something we have done that we're not even aware we did, that you, Father, will help us wipe the slate clean, that we can stand in front of you pure and clean. Provide the courage that is needed, Father, and the strength, that when that opportunity comes for us to speak of you in the future, we will do so. We pray for our teammates that weren't able to attend the call, providing angels protection for them. For Trisus, who's on this trip this weekend, provide success for him and bring him back home. We pray for Tranquility's health and Blazar's health. We pray also for Tom's health as well. And anyone else, Father, on this phone call who's not feeling well, then give us a little spark of life and strength. We pray, Father, for your blessing now. We pray for our leaders and their concerns. If there's something we've forgotten, please cover it. And according to will we ask, know how much we love you, Father. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.